At length, as the craft was cast to one side and ran ranging along with the white whale's flank, he seemed strangely oblivious of its advance, as the whale sometimes will, and Ahab was fairly within the smoky mountain mist which, thrown off from the whale's spout, curled round his great monadnock hump. He was even thus close to him, when with body arched back and both arms lengthwise high lifted to the poise, he darted his fierce iron and his far fiercer curse into the hated whale. As both steel and curse sank to the socket as if sucked into a morass, Moby Dick sideways writhed, spasmodically rolled his nigh flank against the bow, and without staving a hole in it so suddenly canted the boat over that had it not been for the elevated part of the gunwale to which he then clung, Ahab would once more have been tossed into the sea. As it was, three of the oarsmen, who foreknew not the precise instant of the dart and were therefore unprepared for its effects, these were flung out, but so fell that in an instant two of them clutched the gunwale again, and rising to its level on a combing wave, hurled themselves bodily inboard again, the third man helplessly dropping astern, but still afloat and swimming. Almost simultaneously, with a mighty volition of ungraduated, instantaneous swiftness, the white whale darted through the weltering sea. But when Ahab cried out to the steersman to take new turns with the line and hold it so, and commanded the crew to turn round on their seats and tow the boat up to the mark, the moment the treacherous line felt that double strain and tug, it snapped in the empty air. "What breaks in me? Some sinew cracks, 'tis whole again. Oars! Oars! Burst in upon him!" Hearing the tremendous rush of the sea-crashing boat, the whale wheeled round to present his blank forehead at bay. But in that evolution, catching sight of the nearing black hull of the ship, seemingly seeing in it the source of all his persecutions, bethinking it may be a larger and nobler foe, of a sudden he bore down upon its advancing prow, smiting his jaws amid fiery showers of foam. Ahab staggered, his hand smote his forehead. "I grow blind. Hands stretch out before me that I may yet grope my way. Is't night?" "The whale! The ship!" cried the cringing oarsman. "Oars! Oars! Slope downwards to thy depths! O sea, that ere it be forever too late, Ahab may slide this last time upon his mark. I see the ship! The ship! Dash on, my men! Will you not save my ship?" But as the oarsmen violently forced their boat through the sledge-hammering seas, the before whale-smitten bow-ends of two planks burst through, and in an instant almost the temporarily disabled boat lay nearly level with the waves, its half-wading, splashing crew trying hard to stop the gap and bail out the pouring water. Meantime, for that one beholding instant, Tashtego's masthead hammer remained suspended in his hand, and the red flag, half-wrapping him as with a plaid, then streamed itself straight out from him as his own forward flowing heart, while Starbuck and Stubb, standing upon the bowsprit beneath, caught sight of the down-coming monster just as soon as he. "The whale! The whale! Up helm! Up helm! Oh, all you sweet powers of air, now hug me close! Let not Starbuck die, if die he must, in a woman's fainting fit. Up helm, I say! You fools, the jaw, the jaw! Is this the end of all my bursting prayers, all my lifelong fidelities? Oh, Ahab, Ahab, lo, thy work! Steady, helmsman, steady! Nay, nay, up helm again, he turns to meet us! Oh, his unappeasable brow drives on towards us, whose duty tells him he cannot depart! My God, stand by me now! Stand not by me, but stand under me, whoever you are that will now help Stubb, for Stubb too sticks here. I grin at thee, thou grinning whale, whoever helped Stubb or kept Stubb awake but Stubb's own unwinking eye. And now poor Stubb goes to bed upon a mattress that is all too soft, would it were stuffed with brushwood. I grin at thee, thou grinning whale. Look, ye sun, moon, and stars, I call ye assassins of as good a fellow as ever spouted up his ghost. For all that, I would yet ring glasses with ye, would ye but hand the cup. Oh, 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 thou grinning whale, but there'll be plenty of gulping soon. Why fly ye not, O Ahab? For me, off shoes and jacket to it. Let Stubb die in his drawers. A most mouldy and oversalted death, though. Cherries, 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 oh, flask for one red cherry ere we die. Cherries? I only wish that we were where they grow. Go, Stubb, I hope my poor mother's drawn my part pay ere this. If not, few coppers will now come to her, for the voyage is up.